going to talk about the realms of glory, and I want to kind of share. I've not been confident, confident is not in me for sure. Thank God for that. But aware of the Lord intentionality as we cross over this threshold into this new year. Again, it started happening. I felt like there were, in these last 2 years, for my own personal walk with the Lord, He has been establishing truths, making them known, and then building them out in the Spirit in such a way that some of them, I think, may start to manifest in our midst. One thing you can do, it doesn't have to get done before the new year, because it's something we're always renewing our life. Every day is a new day, a new year, a new beginning. But you can pause and look at this year in your heart, you know, while you're being quiet, and think of the significant moments you've had with God. You could take and make 12 boxes and say, okay, January, what happened in January? And you just quiet yourself. I always close my eyes because it closes me off from the distractions. And then I just try to listen and I try to go through and I wait. And the Holy Spirit will always be faithful to point out something that was significant of Him and us. And you just do through that all 12 months and you start to see, oh, wow, there's a pattern developing. There's a path He's been taking me through and I'm growing in that. So that helps me always to reconnect, because God's not, you know, He's not waking up going, gosh, what are we going to do for 2019? I should have got on that earlier. He's just, everything is going from the beginning of time, what was set in motion, with a directive and a desired end. So we may lose our place, but as soon as we place ourselves under His grace, we just get swept back into our future, and the future doesn't change. There's only one hope of our calling. There's no double. He doesn't have a second calling, third calling, fourth calling. He has one calling that each of us are growing into. So, but the thing I saw, there's two things that is this nations, this carrying nations. We're going to 11 o'clock or 1 o'clock today gather. Anybody's welcome to talk about the new genesis of nations, prayer, and the Acts group. Because I believe God has been speaking of the governing prayer with Christ that rises above reactionary prayer, praying from the earth, praying out the problems, praying through the problems, but praying from heaven, praying out the promises, praying through the directives that God begins to open our eyes to see. And I believe that's going to grow. And that's why that's really the method of the madness. When I ask everybody, if we each would take a nation and begin to just carry it, just, you know, so much will change, because one of the tyrannies of hell's strategies that is a tyranny that we get under the bondage of, you know, the tyranny of the urgent. Well, this is the tyranny of self. And self is probably the strongest tyrant you'll ever serve. I'll ever serve. I think basically you go from the spectrum of Satan to self, and everything in between wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ comes to give us life, and that much more abundantly. But so often you have to get past self to accept and submit to truth and Christ, and let that place become experiential, where it's, you know, you're not just obsessed. Our hearts begin to abound. So the other thing that started happening a couple years ago was small groups in my spirit. Like, Lord was just saying, I'm going to grow people in the Spirit and in truth. And I started waiting on the Lord, because I know what the basic premise of a small group is. It's a small enough group of people who can practice Christ. And therefore, everybody gets a chance. They can bring a psalm. They can bring a prophecy, a tongue, an interpretation. They can have a revelation. They can grow in doctrine. They can have experiences, because it's in a small enough setting that it's safe to practice and learn and grow. And so you practice by yourself in your prayer time. Then you begin to practice in a smaller group. And then you begin to move things corporately, because the activity, the activation of the body comes really vibrantly alive. So and as the year progressed, there's I started seeing this last part of the year what I think are going to, what are I know to be very solid premises of gathering. See, everything that God is doing globally, he's doing locally. Everything God is doing in the heavens, he wants to do in our heart. When he does something in my heart, then it can go into my home. If he does something in my home, it can go into my neighborhood. If he does something in my neighborhood, I can bring it to the nations. If he sends me into the nations, I carry what's in my heart. I don't carry something else. I have nothing else to offer but that what is growing inside of me. So everything always is returning to the heart. That's why that's why the practice of prayer is probably the single most thing, quieting ourselves. We used to call it quiet time, devotional life. We used to call it the secret place, prayer, including where we set ourselves in the spirit, into the presence, by faith, into where Christ is, with the words that he's spoken, and grow in communication of the truth of this until it starts to transform us from glory to glory. So on Wednesday, I'll take my whiteboard and I'll draw these pictures. But Brian's still in Tennessee, and he's the only one who knows how to hook it up. But the premise of life in Christ is Christ. It's genius, isn't it, right? The goal of life in Christ is Christ. He's the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. He's the all in all. And when we learn that and we keep recentering ourselves, if I have need of money, I need Christ. If I have need of healing, I need Christ. If I have need of love, I need Christ. If I need of friends, I need Christ. If I have need of stamina and strength, I need Christ. Christ is all in all. And the greatest form, the greatest demonstration of humility is submitting to the all-sufficiency of God in Christ. So it's a practice. So you turn quickly to Jesus for everything. It's not that you'd get him to mow your lawn, but you can ask him for the wisdom, or you can ask him for the strength, or you can ask him for the joy or the cheerfulness, or you can do whatever you do as to the Lord and for the Lord and with the Lord. So Christ is the center, and that is that he dwells in my heart by faith. And then everything that's important to him, the most important relationship he holds in from the individual relationships is his body, his church, his wife, the one whom he has been given a promise of maturity and union, and to which we have been joined with him in union. And it's so the body is something that's huge on Jesus's heart, the love. You know, like Jesus's disciples, when they were overwhelmed with the eat my body, drink my blood conversation, that was like going, where, you don't know where you're going. And but yet the 12 said, we can't leave because you have the words of eternal life. So that's what keeps most of us in this room, right? Everybody online, where are you going to go? There's no other place to go but to follow Jesus. Well, here's another good news. There's no other body to get into but the one you're in. There's only one body in Christ. Many members. And probably whatever we're going through in any place, at any moment, there's a discovery of Christ there that is more important than the functionality. And the beautiful thing about the body, and this all started just growing for the last 3 or 4 years, is all it takes is more love. Every problem within people requires just more love. Because love will cover the multitude of sin. And when there's not love, sin shows up. I didn't say love will change people and stop them from sinning. Because that's pretty much a misnomer of our... We're not... Only God can humble people. Where's my water? You guys are all kind of getting tight on me. Don't do this, please. Love is not something I have to conjure up. I can only love as Christ loved me, if he loves me. The new commandment is, I want you to love one another as I loved you. So I cannot love you unless I'm being loved by Jesus. But again, that takes me back to Jesus, to be loved. And if I receive love from Jesus, I can love everybody. Thank you so much, Rosie. Welcome home. Yay. So I can't love. I used to, whenever a prophet or someone would talk to me about love, and God's going to cause you to be apostle of love, you're going to learn love, you're going to be in explosions of love, I just go, please don't do that, because I don't have love like that in me. Because I've tried to love. I've tried to make those. I've read the Bible. I know what it tells you to do. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. I've had youthful intentionality where I committed myself to do just that. Did it until I ran out of me, consciously making the decision to follow truth and try to do what the Bible said. But I could only do it to a certain length because I was resourcing self. So when I started having these encounters with heaven and in relation, dwelling in the presence of God, and the next prophet just said, a love bomb's coming, a love explosion, a love continuance, a love grace. And I was going, oh, great, great. I know what that does. Makes me feel really bad about myself. Because I'm not, you know, or I'm going to go and try to love. Love is suffers long and is kind. Okay, I'm going to become a suffering, long, kind person. But I can't, so I'm not going to do that. But then I'd realize, wait a minute, my whole binding relationship with you is that you produce the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of... So I got a great idea. I decided to worship God for a season by ascribing to him 1 Corinthians 13 as the attributes of who God is. Oh, it was revolutionary. Because when I began to say, God, you are long-suffering, changed my image of God. You are kind. I see everything that God is asking for us to release on the earth is found in Christ. So he never asks us to do from self. That is the lie that is condemning men and women to a distressed and damnation of hell eventually, is the idea that we are able to live life apart from God. We can be like God through better information. Tree of knowledge of life, good and evil. That is the lie, that we can live independent of God. We can learn how to be like God. We can do it as God, give me more information. The truth is Jesus. The provision of God for our separation is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So in a relationship, with whether it's in our heart, in our home, in a small setting, or reaching to a neighborhood, there is these two components that are to be recognized and valued. Jesus Christ, the head, his body, his living body, and the relationship he has. I'll never go anywhere if I don't love his body. And that means his entire body. I don't get to say, I love the selected portion of the body, the remnant. That's the people I run with. Yes. We may think that, but he loves everybody that has said yes to him in sincerity and truth. And he has hope and dreams and confidence and assurance from the Father, and the Holy Spirit says, I've got this thing. I'm going to bring fruit completion. So we just love that. Jesus and the body, loving him. The two things that he gave us was the Spirit and truth. And the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. And Jesus says that his words are spirit and life, and that if we believe in him, if we continue or abide in his word, we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free, because the truth will lead us to Jesus, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. John 8. So this is the part that's really been exciting. We'll talk more about this in through for next season. See, the word is truth. Let me just show you one scripture. Did I say we were going to start in 2 Corinthians? Yeah, let's go to 2 Corinthians 3. This you can do at home. This is what's so cool. This is like, you don't have to have, you can do this, but, and the exponential dynamic is when we gather in settings that we engage the spirit and truth that we are presently practicing in Christ, and we rise up together, and we start having this exponential dynamic that can leapfrog into places you never could get on your own through just, but you can never hold the place that you leapfrog into unless you've built a place in the spirit in your own practices. So that's why that's always the same, always continues. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Jesus is the answer for everything. You turn to him, now the veil goes away. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the dynamic of personal transformation, personal growth, personal fulfillment and satisfaction in God is found in glorying experiences, encounters with Christ. The glory of God is facilitated on the earth by the Holy Spirit, according to this, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When we are in a glory encounter, which is what prayer is about, having glory experiences, they can feel just ever so slight, but they're enough light to break in. When we see, we are transformed. We also hear the voice of God inside his glory. So we have communication and conversation. It can be just that a scripture all of a sudden means a lot more than it did before you prayed, or begins to become something you keep drawn to every time you go to pray, or it becomes a place that you want to grow in discovery. It's just spirit and truth starts to happen. And what's happening, what I see, I am transformed into. But it's happening by Holy Spirit. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. I love this. You'll find it all throughout the New Testament, and we'll take time to... It's everywhere in the New Testament. New Testament, this principle of spirit and truth. Jesus declaring, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so you can practice abiding in me and my words abide in you. He's the one who's going to remind you and guide you and bring back to your remembrance things I've said and show you what I'm going to do and where I'm going. But in chapter 2, verse 13, chapter 2 Thessalonians 2, 13, I love this but we are bound to give thanks to God always, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. For you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning, that's before time began, if you go, from the beginning, chose you for salvation. The fact that we have said yes to Jesus is because he initiated something before we were born. And he chose, in his pleasure, revealed Christ in us, and we saw, yeah, that's true. Yes, and that initiated my salvation. Christ came to dwell in my heart by faith. I was born again. The scripture started to open up. But what continues is that God, from the beginning, chose you to salvation sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Sanctification is the process of maturing, becoming complete, is what the Bible would call perfect, complete, where all of the soul has worked itself into submission to Christ, and the flesh is no longer trying to resource the energy to do the life's biddings, where we are dependency is upon Jesus and joyful resource, he is my all in all, and I've come into the all in all. I bring all of me into all of him, and to all he is my all in all, and it's a better answer than any answer I ever had. So I'm not like going, ooh, this is so hard. It's like, oh, this is so easy. And what's happening is in that sanctification process, the Holy Spirit is coming to reveal Christ in his word. In his word, in the mirror, we behold him. And the truth is what we behold. Truth makes us free. But truth revealed is not truth known. That'll help. The first time you see truth, it was revealed to you. Whoa, that's a revelation. Whoa, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. But that doesn't mean you know what to do with it. You're going to take that truth, and then Jesus is going to talk about, hey, you know, my next move is to go to Jerusalem and be mistreated by all of the elders and to be beaten and plucked and actually killed and then raised on the third day. And you're sitting there, and your soul's the only thing you have to resource from. Leader of the new movement of God on the earth, death at the hands of wicked people, religiously bent on destruction. Nah. They don't go together. So the Peter goes and says, no, can't be, far be it from you. What does Jesus said? You have put your mind on the things of man and not on heaven. So you can't. You don't know what to do with the truth. So that's why Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will continue or abide in my word, and you will know the truth. So truth shown is not yet known. Truth shown is to be abided in, to be, wow. Whoa. Help me understand that. Where else in the scripture? Holy Spirit, I need you, because without the Holy Spirit, truth will get legalistic all the time. Just get into do's and don'ts and do it this way and don't do it that way. And it, which is resourcing flesh and the mental and the capacity of the soul. So you're having to kind of submit to Holy Spirit, help me discern and to learn and to grow and to understand. And over process of time, the abiding, that's why Jesus said, abide in me and my words abide in you. Then I know the truth. It's like the know is the gnosko. I get it. I know what you're meaning there. Then I turn to Jesus in that moment, and I get healed. I get free. That's how all inner healing, outer healing, physical transformation, every transformation comes that way. 2 Corinthians 13 or chapter 3 told us that, well, we go into the mirror, we look to Jesus, we behold in the mirror the glory of God, the Holy Spirit's communicating the glory of God, we're recognizing Christ, and then we're being transformed. Same thing, abide in me and my words abide in you, and you'll bear much fruit. Sanctified by the Holy Spirit and belief in the truth. I'll show you one last one and then we'll close. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. I just love Jesus. Because he's so much more than I thought he was. And he does everything, everything, everything. He'll heal you. He'll deliver you. He will cause satisfaction. Take any deficit that you're carrying in your soul, submit yourself to God with his spirit and truth, and that deficit will be swallowed up by life and victory. Did I say it would change? No, I have no. Change is not the issue here. The outside, the reason we have diminished the power of Christ is we're trying to make him change things that are bothering us. Rather, our first place is, Lord, change me so I'm no longer bothered. When you do that, we've taken a great leap into the purpose for which relationship with Jesus was given, to be transformed into his likeness, and therefore we will go through the door of humility, we will go through the door of meekness, we will go through the door of gentleness, we will go through the door of long-suffering, and we will walk inside the unity of the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace, and it's like, whoa, I don't have to be afraid, I don't have to control, I don't have to try to fix things, I'm not a slave, I'm a son, nobody can steal my inheritance because it's been given to me in Christ before time began. I'm not worrying over where others are getting to go or what others get to do or how much others have or how little I have. I am satisfied, I am fulfilled, I am complete. And we're transforming our life into the truth. Truth makes us free, we meet Jesus. So Ephesians 1. Oh, I love this. I love this one. It says in him, verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That's just a mouthful. Everything is how he wants it. It will be as he wants it. We will yield to what he wants, and we will be so thankful that we did by the time we get done. It's just liberty. It's fear that's keeping us in the captivity, like the song that we sung. So works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. When we are become assured and quieted and resting in the inheritance that we've been given in Christ, that's according to his purpose, the fruit of it is trust. Trust is dynamic. It's going to change the world. There'll be people who walk in such trust that they carry so much righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit that they shift atmospheres. They can shift things. But it's because they themselves are inside this place. And so you think, well, that's the apostles. Great, great, great. You guys, you know, you're special people. But the next verse, in him you also trusted. Well, how did I trust? I love this because if you take scripture, a lot of times scripture starts with the answer and then gives you the equation. In other words, it doesn't give you the equation to the answer. It starts with the answer and then unpacks it in the equation. So you understand what that meant. In him you also trusted after, so that's after the sum was trust, after you heard the word of truth. See, the word of truth, the truth, which is Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the word of truth, which is referred to all throughout the New Testament as the gospel of salvation. So this salvation in the truth of Jesus, in what had happened, in whom also having believed. So the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, caused faith in Christ, in whom you having believed. So here you are going, here I am in my little moment in prayer. This is happening whenever you and I apply ourselves to position ourselves in the presence of God through the work of Christ, to study the Bible, listen, pray, whatever. Boom. Holy Spirit comes. I see truth. I see Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I see something more of Jesus, more provision in Christ than I ever understood before. Yes. And so the Holy Spirit comes right then. And he seals us. And he's called the Holy Spirit of promise. Because he is one of his probably paramount responsibilities is to take the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and seal us in the promises given to us so that we can be settled in faith and hope and not strive to fix or correct or control. Because he says, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of the inheritance. You ever bought a house, bought a car, you put earnest money, you put a down payment, a deposit, you put it in escrow? If the people that you're dealing with and you are dealing are all truthful, you bought a house, though you have a 30-day, 60-day escrow. You bought a house at your house, you take your friends over, drive by, look at it, this is where I'm going to live. Why? Because you have confidence that this transaction has been agreed upon. But the escrow is so that you can get it, go through the title company, they can see, it's the safety and security of both parties. You don't want to have a lien on the house that government says, we have a lien on that property, you buy the property, they keep the lien. You don't want that. So you want to discover there's a lien on the property so that you go back then to the seller and say, you're going to have to, in the sale of that house, pay that lien because we're not going to assume that lien, and so forth and so on. The termites, how are the termites doing? You know, if you live in California, the termites are doing pretty good. So you're going through all of this, you know, building inspection and review and loans. Do you really, as a buyer, have the kind of resources that you can, that the loan companies with the stringent loan, applications now, you've got to prove this and prove that and prove this and prove that. It's going to just take time. So the 30-day, 60-day escrow is not an unreasonable time. But when you shook hands, you bought a house. When you signed the paper, you bought a house. But you have to, all this has to be processed. So here we are, having been purchased. Jesus bought us. He bought us. And we have been given the Holy Spirit to carry us into the fruition, to the completion of that purchase. That's why he is the guarantee of our inheritance. You say, do you have, you see, this is what's so fabulous about God. My life is not outside. It's inside. My future is not out here. It's in here. You have no idea who I am. Only God knows who I am. And only I know who I am if I know who I am in God. That's all that matters. You can think I'm stupid. God thinks I might be smart. You can think I'm smart. And God might tell me I'm pretty stupid. It really doesn't matter what anybody else says except what he says. He defines me. He began me. He finished me. He created me. He redeemed me. He gave me inheritance, which is according to the purpose of him who does all things according to the counsel of his will. There's no like, hey, Steve, what would you like to be? He didn't even ask me. He expects me to ask him, what did you make me to be? When I know that, then I'm settled. So once that happens, Holy Spirit comes and goes, that's it, dude. Hold that. Hold that thought while the hell wars against you. Let that faith be in place while hell comes against you so you can put your patience in gear. Because patience is how we're perfected. Patience is the building inspector. Patience is how you find out where your termites are and where the lien is on your property and what lies are still controlling your soul. If God just gave you what you believed, there would never be a chance to save your soul. Your soul is saved through exercising faith. Our soul is saved through exercising faith in God through patience. So he says, I'm the guarantee. Holy Spirit comes, seals me in Christ. He sealed me in Christ. He sealed me in Christ. Sealed me in Christ. Okay, you're in Christ. You're part of the house. You're part of the New Jerusalem. You're part of the marriage. You're part of the body. You're part of the family. Whoa. Yeah. I don't feel loved. Just come back. Let me. Oh, yeah. Oh, I am. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Until the day his father says, son, go get your bride. Go get her. Go, it's time. Do, 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 do. We're out of here. Oh, and in the presence. And in the completeness. And we'll go through the judgment seat of Christ real quick. Get that all sorted out. Get rid of the crap that we don't. Oh, excuse me. Stuff that we're still carrying that just hasn't been able to shake off. We'll yield it quickly and freely. We'll lose rewards because we held this instead of that. But who cares? We're saved. We're on our way. We're in. We're on. We will be so happy. All bowing to a Jew. Woo! I'm so in love with a Jew. Yeah. Every prejudice, every funky thought, we'll all just surrender at that day. And it'll be violent for some. And for others, it'll be like, oh, the last vestige of self. You know, me being responsible for me has fallen off. Ah, I'm completely, God, Jesus is completely responsible for me. And, oh, and that'll happen to the praise of his glory. It will be a glorious moment. But the beautiful thing is we get to practice doing that every single day. That's all prayer is. Prayer is just that. Believing in having times the truth can appear. We can have truth. Truth can abide. We can have a transformation. We see. We believe. The Holy Spirit comes and says, here I am. I will forever now be here in this truth experience for you and to grow up in this truth while it is warred against. While other people are saying, we want that property. We put a purchase on it. We own it. We're not handing that over. We dispute the property lines. We don't agree with that. That property was ours. And you, thank God you got the Holy Ghost escrow company. Amen. You don't have to fight with anybody. Okay, whatever you say, Holy Spirit, you take care of that. That's why you pay for an escrow company. That's why you pray for a title search. That's why you include that in the purchase. Because you or I would be hard pressed to try to go up and justify all of that stuff. But not God. He just looks to his son. So we purchased that, didn't we? Yeah, I purchased everything. I got the sin. I got everything. It's all mine. So let's just, okay, but I don't want the termites. So Holy Spirit, would you deal with the termites? and all those little critters in there. And there's some foundation principle bright cracks in their the support beams are really out of whack. They're all religious and fearful. And so let's just, you know, haven't you ever seen that now? You know, the older the house, the bigger the renovation. And the older the house went and renovated, the more it's worth than the new house that was built up. That's how precious we are. So let's pray. I love the fact that Jesus bought us and that he will have us a perfect, mature bride. And sooner than later, I think. Lord, thank you for this new year. I pray with all my heart for each one of us that you will, Holy Spirit, you would just come. I am so grateful for you, Holy Spirit. So willing that you are to come and abide with us and dwell with us. To seal us in Christ in such a way that every truth that we perceive, every promise that we hear made, becomes a place of habitation in Christ, where you then become that earnest, that guarantee, until the purchased redemption, until it's completed, the transaction's finished. So whether we live our life and have 70% of the promises revealed, never actualized in this planet, they will be forever, eternal. And we seek a city whose builder, maker is God. It's huge what you've done for us. But no more huge than when you come into one of our hearts, my heart especially, and you say, peace, Steve, be quiet. You're okay. I've got you. Return to me. Rest. Salvation's yours in me. Be quiet. Gain confidence. It's the strength you need. Lord, I pray for each of us as we close this year that we will grow, and whatever you have opened for us in this new year, we will be able to behold. We'll be able to behold and hold. Holy Spirit, you are amazing because you are given the cleanup, the mop up, the completion project, and confident you are because you have Jesus Christ as the source and substance of everything you do. Reveal in us, Lord, this new year. Christ in us, the hope of glory, until the world can see the hope of glory for each and every believer and every individual. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.